Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7th and 9th at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7th and 9th at Hallis, in your ears, you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of 79th and Hallis, man. This is episode 266. This is the second drop of the week. A lot of off-season stuff going on, man. It is your boy Scott here. We got my man J.R. Bang here, 1/4. Well, one fourth. Actually, not even 1/4.
Like, what, 25, 30%?
Yeah, about 25, 30% if I'm not going. My math is off. I'm not going to hold you here. Phil Nance, my brother, who is still at work right now, so he couldn't come on and talk about the beloved. My Bang is holding it down, man. Especially, you can get his take, too, because he's not going to be I'm not going to hold you this week. So, we'll get his Bears takes, man. So, we're going to be breaking down the Ben Johnson introduction press conference, which I was at today. And, you know, a whole bunch of other things going on, man. So, of course, you can follow us on all social media platforms. At Barbershare Scott, at JR Bang, follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net. Subscribe to our Patreon, man, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. And of course, if you subscribe to the $10 holla, you get 25% off on your first order at the Barbershare Network merchandise shop. And that is the bcnetshop.com. Boy, it is cold as hell outside. Go out there, cop you a hoodie, cop you a crew neck, whatever you got to do, man. We appreciate all of y'all, man. So, got a lot to get into today on the show. Before we get into, he said, B-Dot, he said, now y'all can get a winning record. Hey, B-Dot, tell me what the Packers record is in 2025. It's 0-2. And I wonder who one of those losses came against. Oh, that's us, nigga. That's who it's against. Before we get into the actual press conference and things of that nature, as my guy Big Waz says, my man Waz from The Ringer always says this, few things better in life than being right. Y'all do not know. Of course, Bang addressed it on some dude. But y'all do not know. I've been getting assaulted, and I'm not going to hold you group chat for like a month. Being the only one with optimism that this was going to come home. I didn't buy any of the Raiders reports. I didn't buy any of the Jaguars reports. It just did not make sense to me. I felt like that scene on Game of Thrones where Bran was having the vision of a young Hodor, and we found out the nigga was really saying, hold the door, hold the door. That's me holding the door while all the different rumors. And Mikey said, check this out. This random nigga who know Mark Brunell said he coming to Jacksonville. Like, all that stuff just coming into the group chat, and I stood tall. I said, if he goes to Vegas, he goes to Vegas, but you can't sell me on it being a football decision. Now, that's one thing Bane did agree with me on, but about the Vegas thing. I was like, I'm like, he go to Vegas.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you with the Vegas thing. First of all, I was joking. Well, I won't say I was joking. I didn't have no belief in the best. But the Vegas thing, no, I ain't no way in hell. Them motherfuckers they ain't got nothing.
Mike, you was trying to sell me on it being a long term. I'm like, this is not the NBA. You don't get 6 years. He's gonna be fired by year three. And so, funny thing about this is Courtney actually called it into existence because on Monday, on Martin Luther King, there were like 100 things going on Monday. We didn't do a show because. Not just because it was Martin Luther King Day, but it was like a million things going on. You had Martin Luther King Day. You had the inauguration. NBA had like 4 games going on at one time, and it was a national championship. I was like, people are not going to be paying attention to our show, so let's just, you know, come in on Friday. So I forgot I don't know if it's James Jones. He's for Fox. I don't want to mess up the man's name, but he's on Fox with Jay Glazer and all them. He tweeted in the morning.
Jonathan Jones.
Shout out to Jonathan Jones. He tweeted in the morning. He retweeted his video from before the night before during the divisional games, where he said momentum was picking up to Vegas. So he retweeted his own video and said, yeah, that's what I thought yesterday, but I'm getting told this morning that momentum is picking up to Chicago. So I was like, oh, what's going on here? And then Josina Anderson said, oh, it's not a done deal yet, but things are looking like Ben Johnson will be the next head coach of Chicago Bears. And a lot of people don't be giving Josina the respect she deserves for when she be breaking news. She's broke a lot of news. I think she's the first person to break Aaron Glenn today, too. So it's like people don't give her respect on that. And one thing Josina said about 2 weeks ago that stood out to me, where she said when it was all Raiders, she said, pay attention to the order of the interviews with Ben Johnson. She said, if you want to go somewhere, don't you think you're going to put the heat on the other team to let them know, pay me because you want to go there? And that always stuck in my head. And with the Jacksonville thing, Jacksonville would have made sense to me if they got rid of Trent Baalke, which they eventually did today after Liam Cohen told them, you know what, niggas, I'll stay here. So that eventually did happen, but it happened too late for them. But I just never believed the Raider thing. I was like, look, man, Tom Brady owned 5% more of that team than I do. I don't think that's that big of an issue. I was like, and what quarterback did they have? I can see if they're pick 3 or even 4. Well, realistically, you can trade in there to be able to get a Shedeur Sanders or get a Cam Moore. I never bought – it just didn't make any sense. I'm like, just because he gets his own GM? So then it broke out. I think me and Mikey were still talking about the thing, and Courtney was like, I thought y'all were done talking about this, Scott. You said you were done talking about it. I'm talking about 2 seconds later. Shout out to homie Tosin. He sent me a text from Jordan Schultz that said, breaking news, Bears head coach. And as soon as that happened, Mikey just put Ben in all caps in the chat. And that's when it happened. So it was good to have that initial rush. And I was like, more than anything, I'm glad to be right. And that's just really what it came
to. Yeah, you are a person that will let it be known that you are always glad to be right. And you will let everybody know that you are right.
Yeah.
So you were right.
I just had to get that out there first, man. But
realize you look like a Green Bay Packer.
man, I wanted to get your thought before we get to the actual press conference. Of course, you gave your thoughts on some dude. You're not gonna be on I'm Not Gonna Hold You on Friday. So what was your initial reaction to everything happening when the hiring actually went down?
Pleasantly shocked is what it was for me. Let me say this real quick, though. I don't know if people do a lot of research. I don't know. I doubt people do a lot of research on these national shows. But I'll say this. The last time that the Bears got the man that they wanted and it was their number one choice was – shit, famed Bears head coach who don't leave Chicago unless it's Pittsburgh, Dave Wannstedt. I remember when the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl and people were congratulating Dave Wannstedt, who was the DC for the Dallas Cowboys at the time, because he was soon going to be announced as the replacement for Mike Ditka. When I look at the Bears coaching history, really, like Mike Ditka, I was too young to realize who Buddy Ass was. So the first person is like Dave Wannstedt. I bring up that because a lot of people thought that Dave Wannstedt could bring the Bears back to prominence. He did that. He had Jerry. I mean, Jerry Johnson with like, I mean, Jimmy Johnson, excuse me, with him as his former head coach. He learned from him, all of that. And it was a lot of faith. And being able to say, yo, we have that person. And it just didn't work out. Now, since then, it's been hard getting the head coach. We was trying to get Dave McGinnis. And Dave McGinnis at the last minute was like, nah, I ain't coming. There was other people that came in the building. Lovie Smith was like the third option and all of this stuff. So as a grown adult, this is the first time that the Bears have been the belle of the ball when it comes to head coaches. And, man, it felt good considering who we got and the reason why we got him. Like, the reason why we got him is because we got the number one pick in the draft, and the number one pick is Caleb Williams. So you got all of that, doing all of this. We have somebody that's going to hopefully take us to the next level. We have somebody that's coming from a division rival, so it's going to hurt them. If you look at the coaching staff right now of the Detroit Lions, they're depleted. They lost three coaches today, and yep. that's not saying that they might lose somebody else. So it feels good on multiple levels. We depleted a division rival. We have somebody who has experience in the division, and we have somebody that hopefully is going to put Caleb Williams in the right spot to be the quarterback that we feel like he could be. Is it a gamble? Yeah, but getting anybody as a head coach would be a gamble. There's no guarantee that Mike McCarthy would have been successful, even though he has a track record. There's no guarantee that that was going to happen here because John Fox came here, who had success with the Carolina Panthers, and he had success as the DC of the New York Giants. Like, he came in with a good track record, and it just didn't work out. I saw a lot of people comparing this to Adam Gase, and could this be, and he comes from that Adam Gase tree and all of this stuff. But I, for the first time in quite some time, feel comfortable in who we got as our head coach. When we got Matt Nagy, I was not comfortable with Matt Nagy because Matt Nagy just started calling plays. And when you have somebody like Andy Reid as the head coach, we know who's the dominant offensive guy in that building at that time. Dan Campbell, leader of men, which means he is letting his offensive and defensive coordinator be the head coach of their areas of expertise. So I feel very comfortable in the choice that we made. Bear down.
Yeah, I think what you said about it being a gamble is true. I'm going to get to in a minute why I don't like the national media's take on the gamble. I'm going to get to that later in the show. But this is the first time a guy was come in who obviously the best number one, candidate. But he's also well trained, I guess. He's been around. He's with the Miami Dolphins from 2012 all the way to 2018. So, 6 years with the Miami Dolphins. And a lot of people forget, like, he was in Detroit before Dan Campbell. He was in Detroit from 2019 and moved himself up the ranks. He was offensive quality coach, control coach. Then he was a tight end coach for two seasons. Then he became the passing game coordinator in 2021. And then he was the offensive coordinator for 3 years. So it's like he's been through different levels on the offensive side of the ball. He was a wide receiver coach in Miami. You know what I'm saying? He was a tight ends coach in Miami. Replaced Dan Campbell. He's been in the assistant quarterback coach, offensive assistant, going all the way back to all. So he's well-versed in all these different roles that it takes on the offensive side of the coaching thing. If you look at every other hiring, like Dave Wannstedt probably is the only big name hiring. Because even if you look at Mike Ditka, obviously I wasn't alive when Mike Ditka was hired.
Yeah, that's why I didn't even count that.
But even with Mike Ditka, he wasn't, from what I understand, he wasn't like a, that was his first coaching job. Like,
yeah, he was the special teams. He was a special teams
with Tom Landry
and the Cowboys. Landry there, yeah. And he went to the Bears and said, I want this job. And look at the similarities. If we heard what we heard today correctly, Ben Johnson told them, I want this job.
Twice.
Like, what we doing here? Why are we talking to somebody else?
I got to respond to Keith's comment real quick. I think it's all good. I think it's all going to work out, Ben Johnson. We got to hold the excitement until we see the positive. No, we don't have to hold it. This is why I disagree with that.
No, we ain't going to do it.
Bears fans, you're allowed to have a week of being happy. We don't get a lot of that now. Like I said, I'm not giving record predictions. I'm not saying what they're going to do next year. I have no idea what they're going to. We don't even know what this roster is going to look like. But I think Bears fans are allowed to get excited. I don't think we should temper our excitement about this because – for a full calendar year, it has been Ben Johnson. We wanted Ben Johnson a year ago. He wanted to be here a year ago, but they kept Eberflus. So you're allowed to be happy. I told myself, I'm taking this week to be really, really excited about this. And then we move on to what's next. See how he fills out the coaching staff. Rumor is it's going to be Dennis Allen to be the defensive coordinator. Originally, we heard it was going to be Hank Fraley being come over from Detroit to be the offensive coordinator. Doesn't sound like that's going to be the case anymore. From everything that we're hearing, Brad Biggs saying he might be staying in Detroit to be the offensive coordinator there, even though we got to see if they're going to give him play call abilities because that's what he wanted with Seattle. So we'll see that. But no, I think you're allowed to be happy. Be happy.
Let me ask you this question, Keith. Yeah.
All right.
When you get a girlfriend, you get excited that you got a girlfriend, right? Yes, you do. Now, shit might not work out.
You still got to put in the work.
But when you say, can you go? Do you want to go with me? And she said, yeah. You don't be like, oh, let me temper these expectations. Like, no, you get excited. Now,
she might cheat on me one day.
Yeah, she might. Y'all break up. Hey, all right, it is what it is. But that day, y'all got together, you was excited. I'm not tempering my expectations. Like you, I'm not pulling in no record,
yeah,
like predictions or anything like that. But I am excited because we got somebody that we wanted. We got somebody that has a good track record. And most importantly, we got somebody that wanted to come here.
That's very important.
Like, right? And let me phrase it by saying this. Yeah, everybody wants a head coaching job. There's only 32 head coaching jobs. But the way that they explained it, he came in like, no, I want this job, y'all. Like, let's not even, because you hear him, you hear rumors of him being tempted to go to the Raiders. You hear him tempted to go to Jacksonville. You see him interviewing with the Patriots. Dislike the analogy, but you're right. I mean, it's the right thing. But no, you see, he could have been a head coach last year. He could have went to the Commanders. He could have went to the Panthers. But then it was rumors that if they would have got rid of Eberflus, he would have wanted to be here. So again, he wants to be here. This was his number one choice, probably for 2 years. I'm more excited about that than him getting a job because it's like, yo, you know, you've been lurking. You've been paying attention. I don't know about this whole going to Wrigley Field shit, even though white people love going to Wrigley Field. Like, look, white people love going to Wrigley Field and seeing that goddamn bean.
I mean, it makes sense. This is not a shot at Detroit because I love Detroit, but you don't want to be in Detroit doing this.
You don't want to be in Detroit. Season over, let's go to Chicago. Chicago. Let's go see Wrigley Field. Go see this bean. Go have some pizza. We have white people have a good day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It just lets you know that summertime shy is undefeated.
And one thing I saw on, I was watching Rich Eisen like I do every day, and they were talking about the Cub thing. Rich Eisen did throw a shot at the Sox. He's like, what's he going to do? Go to the South Side, watch them win 5 games? Oh, okay. But he was like, during the summer, it's excellent. And then everybody on the cast, oh my God, greatest city in the world during the summer. Like, so I believe he's up there. I don't know if he saw a Cub game, but I don't know if that was just something to give Cub fans.
Look, man, white people going to go to Wrigley Field.
Yeah, white people love Wrigley Field.
They're going to go see that bean. They're going to get some pizza. And if you got money, you're going to go shop.
Exactly. Exactly. Great vacation. Man. Let's get to the actual press conference. So I was there today. I was there way earlier than I thought I was going to be there. So I thought traffic would take longer to get there. I got that the press conference started about 11. I was there by like 9:50, like real early. And, you know, I just went there. They had a different room. So the usual press conference room, they did not do it in. They usually do it in the Mugs Auditorium. But which I have still not been in because when they hired Eberflus, I was covering the team, but I wasn't there. My brother did that press conference. So they had us in the PNC Center's studio. Like, you know, you'll see the interviews that Jeff Joniak had with people and shit like that. It's a much bigger room than I thought. So they had it there. So it was a nice little space, but it was a lot of people there, a lot of media. Everybody had blazers on and suits. And I'm sitting here dressed like a defensive coordinator. You know, it was a lot of people there. And the thing that stood out to me was the players, four players came. And I thought about just, I wonder if Caleb is going to be there. Cause I know Caleb has been in LA. I know Pavi is running to him a couple times. He's like, your quarterback is here at an unnamed establishment that I won't put out on the podcast. But so I know he had been in LA. He was at the USC game over the weekend. He had that cast. He was getting assists removed, and he told us today that he's going to be getting removed in 2 days. It's nothing serious. But he came in looking like John Shaft. I don't know what was up with that. With that coat. Yeah, that coat was crazy. New lining. He ain't had a haircut since his first year at USC. So it's the first time he's had a haircut in a while. Rome came in. Looked like he woke up 10 minutes earlier. DJ flew in from Orlando because he was at Disney World with his family. And Cole Kmet came in. And so I was like, okay, that's interesting. But when I see Cole Kmet walking, I feel like that meme. Does he know? Like, I'm not too sure this nigga's going to be here. Like, yeah, I don't know if his speed matches the Ben Johnson.
You better watch some Sam Laporta tapes.
I was like, does he know? So they sat two rows in front of me. Said Caleb like a Gotham detective. Yeah. He looked like he had the iced tea coat from Law & Order. But they sat two rows in front of me. About 10 other McCaskies were there. I saw Tanisha Wade. She's in the front office of the Bears was there. And in the front row, it was the commission. You know, George McCaskey, Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson and Ben Johnson's family. And before a couple days ago, I had never heard Ben Johnson talk. I had never heard him talk. Somebody tweeted a mic'd up video when the Lions were the coaching staff for the Senior Bowl 3 years ago. I was like, this motherfucker got personality. Like, I just never thought that's what he has. I instantly saw from that video how him and Dan Campbell got along. And so, and then the reception on Monday, I don't know about you. That introduction video, him walking to Hallis Hall, that gave me chills.
Yeah, I love white people sometimes. Like, that's epic white people, like, great white people moment. Like, yeah. That's like Lucas. Like, you ever seen the movie Lucas?
No, I ain't seen movie.
All right, so you got to, first of all, it's an old 80s movie, Shut the Fuck Up, Orlando. but it just shows you the dynamic of white people and jocks. Basically, yeah. Lucas was a nerd who ended up playing football. His ass ended up damn near dying on the field, the slow clapping shit. That's what it felt like to me. It felt like Ben Johnson was Lucas, and he came into the building, and everybody was just like,
Alex said, shout out Winona Ryder.
Like, that was one of those, the great part of, like, white people. And, like, because I ain't see a lot of people of color in that motherfucker. Let me just say that. But when I saw the video that was that Jacob Infante put out there, that he wasn't supposed to put out there.
Yeah, he apparently. Wasn't supposed to put out there.
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to put that. But it's funny because I saw the exact video, the motherfucker who was recording that shit, and how he got it, too, because she had her camera up.
Yeah,
But
I can say that young lady did not lose her job. I saw her today.
But when I saw it, I was like, that's when I first said, he want to be here.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't, all right, I got me a head coach's job. All right, let's get to work. Like, no, he really wants to be here. So I tempered my expectations. I was like, let's see what happened in this press conference. But it just let me know that he wants to be here. And it's not about tradition. Yeah. Like, let me say this. He is 38 years old.
I was in high school at the same time as this nigga.
Yeah, right. You was in high school. Like, this, he's not here for Bears tradition. Yeah. He wasn't there for that. Like, all of these other old coaches we got, they was in high school when the Bears was, like, in their heyday in the 80s. Yeah. He was not born, and he was here when we was Huff. He probably saw Barry Sanders whoop our ass. He saw goddamn Randall Cunningham and Warren Moon as Vikings quarterbacks. He saw Green Bay getting his ass. So I didn't even feel the rich tradition of the Bears Mike made me want to get here. No, like, no, I really – he said we're a sleeping giant.
Yeah.
That's when I said – okay, he's been seeing what we've been saying all along. Third biggest market, best city in the world in the summer. They do have all of that shit, but they ain't been good for a while. I could really come up in here and fuck around and get my name on the field. if you know, I do you know what I know I could do.
You know what this is like? I'm going to give a sitcom analogy. This is like season, the first two seasons of Different World, when you knew that Dwayne and Whitley eventually were going to get together. This is what it felt like. Like, both parties wanted each other. And you know, and the Bears were with somebody they didn't want to be with. You know, the Ben was in a good relationship, but it's like, you know, it's like when, who was the second girl that Dwayne was with?
The Asian girl.
Yeah, the Karuchi looking chick.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot her name, but she was bad.
Kaneko or something like that.
Yeah, Kaneko or something like that. She was bad, though.
That's who the Lions are. They were Kaneko. Like, yeah, she got a thing together. She fine. She got a good job. But she wasn't Whitley. That's what it kind of felt like. That was a synergy right there. You never heard a nigga in a job and he first like, hey, I want this job. Like,
yeah, I want
to
it.
Start. And so when I saw that, it was like you said, like sometimes I like white people. When it comes to sports and we see how energetic they are, and that's new. That's new. That's Kevin Warren stuff. We're going to get into the Kevin Warren impact in a minute. They didn't have the whole front office come out for Eberflus. They had a full front office and the staff come out for Matt Nagy.
Motherfuckers ain't give a fuck when Jaron became head coach.
Exactly.
Like, they fuck.
They sent the PJ, bro. They sent the PJ to pick him up. And so, by the way, Bears fans are hilarious for tracking that PJ.
Yeah, that's
and
hilarious.
Actually it being right. Because usually when sports fans track PJs, it's wrong. We remember when Blue Jay fans tracked Shohei Ohtani and this nigga was still sleeping in Orange County, not in Toronto. So, and this is the first time it worked, but you know, just being in the building today, it was just a energy. You know, Dante told us earlier, like, this first time I've seen Ryan Poles smile in a while.
Man.
They all like, yeah, nigga. And I kind of felt it in the press conference, not from Ben Johnson.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because you was there.
Yeah.
I felt like that We the North shit Ryan Poles was talking about a couple of years ago, he felt it today.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
No, nigga, it's lit.
Yeah, it was, but even like from Poles, because like I expected that from Poles. Kevin Warren and George McCaskey too. Kevin Warren and George McCaskey were holding their nuts today. Like that's where like Kevin Warren was using more big words than he usually uses. He's like, this is what I was talking about, niggas. Like I told y'all. They asked him like, oh, was it hard to get George McCaskey to play that price? He's like, look, man, I talked to these motherfuckers. Like I told them this, we need to pay to play. And this is what they did. Like, he was feeling himself. And, you know, Mark Potash asked a question. He said, I ain't going to lie. I don't like the premise of that question. But this is what I mean. Now, actually, no, George said that. George said, I don't like the premise of that question. But this is what it is. And George McCaskey came up here. And I've been covering the Bears for 4 years. I've sat in many George McCaskey press conferences. More than I would like to. Because he's the team owner. And he shouldn't be in this many press conferences. But he said up there, he was like, hey, where's Big Z at? Where's Potash at? Like, hey, where them niggas at? Bring them to the stage.
bring them to the front.
Yeah, like when T.I. was at a birthday bash. Anybody seen Lil Flip lately? Like, that's how I got the energy from George. And it just felt like for the first time that, one, it felt like Ryan Poles was empowered. And that's a different comparison from how he looked when Eberflus got fired and how he looked just 3 weeks ago at the end of the year press conference. You know what I'm saying? Like, he looked empowered, and the Bears front office finally felt like, oh, we got the job done. But as far as Ben Warren, man, I loved what I heard. Like, I know we all like winning the press conference in Chicago, but I was blown away. He sounded confident. We all know he wanted to be here, and it felt like he had a plan. And one thing I also love, he wasn't just up there kissing Caleb's ass. He was like, oh, yeah, no, Caleb is great. He was one of the main reasons I came here. But if you think we finna win a championship just off Caleb, that's not how we gonna do this. And he was looking at Caleb when he was saying this. I was paying attention to stuff like that. Caleb was – the players were two rows in front of me. And it felt like he had a plan. And also what I love, he's not bringing the Detroit offense. He's like, yo, I'm bringing an offense that we're going to build around Caleb. And then we're going to put the other players in place. And also, he brought up the offensive line,
which
is what we needed to hear. Because it don't matter. You can dig Bill Walsh out his grave right now. If you ain't got an offensive line, it does not matter who's your offensive coordinator. So I'm glad they talked about that. But I was blown away. I thought it was great. I thought it was a perfect introduction. He answered all the tough questions. You know, Chicago media, we not like New York or none, but we're pretty tough question askers. And he, I think he didn't dodge anything. He answered it the way he needed to answer. And you can even see a couple people. I saw David Hall. David Hall was sitting right next to me. I was sitting next to David Hall, my man Adam Johns, and Sylvie from Waddle and Sylvie. We're all in the same row. And David Hall tweeted, like, I've been covering the Bears for 22 years. I've never seen something that impressive. And yeah. We all said the same thing. It does not matter about winning the press conference, but it's a difference. What was Eva Flew saying 3 years ago? We're going to have the hits principle. We're going to put our big boy pants on. Like, it just sounded stupid. So my initial take was, good first day as far as introducing yourself and sounding like you actually know what you're doing. And I think for this point, that's really all it is. Yeah, that's what says the chat. The Bears felt like a real – they felt like the charter franchise today. And it's very, very few times I can say that. And what was your opinion on the press conference?
You just said it. They felt like a real franchise. First of all, Ben Johnson. Shouts out to Sean Davis. He had texted me like, yo, he winning the presser. I said, he's winning the presser because he not being extra. As you said, there's no buzzwords. There's no hits principle. There's no we got to beat Green Bay. It's not none of that. It was just really, to me, as straight to the point that you needed to be in a press conference. Again, nothing extra. This is what it is. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's a phrase that I use all the time. Like, you gotta get comfortable being uncomfortable. I don't think that the Bears have truly been in a situation when it comes to Eberflus, especially with all of the stuff that came out. Even today, hearing Ryan Poles basically admit that there were issues with the coaching staff, but there was issues with Caleb too. Like, I was shocked that they talked about that. We've been hearing rumors about the work ethic of Caleb. And
I'm sorry, Mikey. I'm standing on air. I'm sorry, Mikey, for doubting you.
I apologize. It was rumors about that, but this is why I kept saying all season long that you can't win with bad coaching. It basically confirmed my thinking all along, which was Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus brought Caleb in and they treated Caleb like a five-year vet first day in. It wasn't a lot of coaching. It wasn't a lot of training. It was a lot of, oh man, you know how to do this. You got this. And Caleb basically had to play street ball and figure it out. And then when it started to get out that this is not what's going on, like the coaching and stuff, this is what we need. They were not ready for that. Ben Johnson ain't for that shit. That's not going to happen. So one, they confirmed in all of their interviews what I've been saying all year long. You can't win with bad coaching. The other part of it is they felt like a charter franchise. They felt like a franchise in the third biggest market. They didn't use the little room. They used the big room. It felt like the whole thing felt like we're here. But the other part of it is, and the last part is, man, it felt like confidence radiated throughout that building. It felt like there's a new energy for the Bears. And again, we'll see what happened. We'll see what happened throughout the time that he's here. But I've not felt like this with any coach that we've hired. This was a whole new day. Maybe Kevin Warren basically told them, like, nah, we about to start holding our nuts around here, Jack. We them ones, and we've been the ones. Ryan Poles, maybe in the words of Shawn Michaels, he lost his smile. Maybe he found his smile again. But it just feels like it's a new aura, it's a new era, and we ain't taking no shit from nobody. But now we got to see what happens on the field. We got to see what happens during we got to hear that coach speak stuff when the combine happens. We got to hear these press conferences during the small mini camps. We got to see what happens during the draft. They got the 10th pick. What they going to do with that pick? We got to hear what happens with that press conference. Rookie minicamp. There's going to be a whole bunch of press conferences that's going to show progress or lack of. We'll see what happens.
And also, of course, this is 6 months away, but I really want to know when it comes to training camp, how he's going to run those training camps. In my time of covering training camp, I didn't cover Nagy training camp, so I have no idea what Nagy camps were like. But even food camps have been very light. They've been very light, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I want to know if that changes. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm looking for. Damien in the chat says, I wonder what the interaction with Caleb and Ben was once they met each other, especially after the prank. Well, I saw when they met each other. Caleb got there, came downstairs. He waited at the door for Ben and his family came up. They dapped each other up. And Caleb said when he found out, because after the press conference, we were able to speak to Caleb, had a 15-minute media segment, so did George, so did Ryan, and so did Kevin Warren. And he said that he got the number from Kevin. He got it from Ryan, he got it from Ted Cruz, who was the special advisor to Kevin Warren. Ted Cruz came over from Kansas City. He used to be one of the communications guys. I remember when the Bears played the Chiefs two seasons ago, and when I met Patrick Mahomes, Ted Cruz was the dude right behind him. So he's the special advisor to Kevin Warren. So he was one of the people who gave the number to Caleb. And Ben Johnson actually sent Caleb a picture of himself so Caleb would know it was him. But I want to go on to Bears Tax, man. This is something I've said for the longest time exists, that some people might think it's just my meatball fan inside of me. But no, there's a national media Bears Tax. Now, I just want to put this out there that the Bears have done nothing to disprove this Bears Tax. The Bears do not deserve the benefit of the doubt. I don't care how many offseason championships they win. They got to go out there and prove it on the field. So I just want to get that out the way. But it is annoying as a fan and a media member when I see what's going on. Because Ben Johnson has been talked about so glowingly in the media the past year and a half. And, the Bears got to get him. Bears got to get him. But even through this whole process, when guys like Adam Schefter, I remember Schefter was on Pat McAfee saying, you got to pay attention for the Bears in this. And Pat McAfee was like, well, the Bears are kind of shite. I'm like, nigga, what are the Jaguars and the Raiders? Like, that was the thing that was annoying me through this whole process is, yes, I understand the Bears did not have a good infrastructure, things like that. But why are we acting like the Raiders and Jaguars do? Like, we already know what the league felt about Trent Baalke. The Raiders are literally paying three GMs or three head coaches before they even hire the next one. So I'm like, what are we talking about? You know, like, we talk about, the Bears ain't won playoff games since 2010. Okay, what was the last playoff win for the Raiders? Oh, 23 years ago, when they went to the Super Bowl. Like, it's been that long. So my thing is this. Because the Bears got the girl, well, we can't go for a year, but like, oh, man, shorty bad. But then the Bears get her, it's like, oh, that bitch ain't that bad. Like, we can't do that, bro. And that's the kind of feeling I felt from some people. Not all, from some people in the media, in the national media. Not local, in the national media. You know, I saw Dominique Foxworth. And I love Dominique Foxworth. Dominique Foxworth has actually been on this podcast. So shout out to Dominique Foxworth. He said that he didn't really like it. He said he doesn't love the hiring like everybody else loves it because he'd have got a more established coach, and he thinks also defensive coach is great. Now, granted, Dominique Foxworth also played defense when he was in the NFL. So let's put that there right there. Chris Canty, I'm not even going to – he's be trying to be on his black Skip Bayless stuff, whatever. But I love Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen said today that Ben Johnson has to fix Caleb Williams. Like, who's the head coach in Carolina? What's his name? Steve something. I don't know his name. But he fixed Bryce Young. There's a couple things. Number one, we're doing a lot over Bryce Young.
Dan Canella? How?
It's Canella. So I just don't know. I'm going to look it up right now.
Dave Canella.
Like, look, I think that Bryce Young had a strong second half of the season. But niggas act like he was throwing 15 touchdowns. Like, let's chill out. I don't like the term fix Caleb Williams. Does Caleb have things to work on? 100%. Fix is not it. You know what I'm saying? It's about fix Bryce Young. And then even his co-host, Chris Brockman, was like, all right, let me relax. Bryce Young's a little strong. Look at the numbers. Caleb had good numbers. I think Ben Johnson summed up Caleb's season up and down, like a lot of rookie. But, like, let's stop acting like he's Zach Wilson and he's a project. You know, I'm sitting here and I get a alert from Pat McAfee show. Did the Bears make the right move, the wrong move by hiring Ben Johnson? Knowing damn well, if it had been the Vegas Raiders, y'all be sucking Tom Brady's balls. If this was Jacksonville, you'd be like, well, you know, Trevor Lawrence still has it in him. But since it's the Bears, it's a problem. And that's the issue I have.
Just do the Raiders part. We ain't got to do the other ones. Let's do the Raiders part. The fact that they don't have a quarterback, they don't have a head coach, they don't have a GM, or they didn't have it at the time. The only – their skill position players are – they got a battered offensive line. The best player on their team by far is Max Crosby. The fact that they only got Tom Brady going for them at that point – And people would have been excited to see Ben Johnson in Las Vegas. It does show Bears tax. But also the fact that Tom Brady is leading the charge. This is where the Bears fail at miserably. The reason why the Bears tax is there is the Bears' fault. And it ain't got nothing to do with winning. It don't have anything to do with losing. It has everything to do with an organization that's been living in 1985-86 for so long. If it is 2025, then it is what, 40 years since the 1985 Bears was running rampant. 40. Scott, I'm 42. I'll be 43 in May. It's been 40 years since that damn team. And you can say that the Bears has been living in that world for 40 years. Wow. That's why there's a Bears tax. The Giants are Huff. And they GM was huffing it up even more on goddamn Hard Knocks. There's not a Giants tax.
Yeah.
The Jets. There's not a Jets tax.
And that's the Bears are who they are. There's no Jets tax.
The Bears are who they are. And that tax is there because they've been behind the times for 40 fucking years. If Kevin Warren is going to be that mouthpiece, if he's going to be the face, if he's going to be that guy, this is a great start to seeing that happening. But that's what we need. We literally need this team to say, hey, it is 2025. We need to be here and not be in a time when it wasn't even grass in Soldier Field. It was AstroTurf. Like, go look at some of them old-ass Bears games. That damn field is light as hell.
A time where Harold Washington was still mayor.
Right. When Harold Washington was still mayor, Jane Byrne was living in Cabrini Green. like the Bears had cheerleaders. Cheryl Burton was a cheerleader. Like, that is the time that the Bears living in. Virginia McCaskey is living in a time where she was middle age. Like, she was middle age back then. So I think this was a great step in that direction, but that's why there's a Bears tax. The fact of the matter is that the Raiders got a brand new stadium that's one of the best stadiums in the NFL. They got a fan base that's rabid, and they got the greatest white man in professional sports history as the face of their program and not howdy doody looking ass Mark Davis. That's why people looked at that and said, that's a great opportunity, even though they ain't got nothing on the cupboard.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The Bears don't help themselves, for sure. I just see the hypocrisy, and it drives me up.
Oh, it's very much hypocrisy. But We're easy targets.
We are. Well, 100% we are. Because of what we're talking about right now.
Like the fact that people were sitting there saying, hey, man, hey, that Raiders job, or no, fuck that, the Patriots job. Oh, that Patriots job is the best job.
But even that makes more sense to the Raiders. I can get the Patriots. You know, Drake May had a solid year. They got a lot of cap space and a lot of
Scott, draft. I'm not going front. Here's why I disagree with you. It's the same thing that you've said about the Bulls. The Bulls' success revolves around one man.
Yeah.
The Patriots' success revolves around one man. You have no success before him, and you ain't had no success after him. So to think that you have all of this cap space and you got Drake May, oh man, we about to run the cold ass New England. Nobody wants to be in fucking Boston in the summer.
In Josh Allen's division.
Yeah. So it's the organization. It's Robert Kraft. Is you're looking at the stadium, Gillette Stadium. You are looking at those trophies, and they're recent. But they ain't got no wide receivers. They offensive line is shoddy. Christian Gonzalez is the best defensive player they got.
They're bringing Josh McDaniels back. I don't get that one at all. Except Vikings, Packers, and Lions gotta be shit. Actually, I'm disagreeing with this. I wouldn't be shitting my pants about either three of them. I'll be shitting my pants about Detroit a little bit, just because we don't really see
Detroit,
how good they can.
Like, man, who the fuck we gonna
be? Yeah, if I'm the Vikings or Packers, I'm like, y'all still gotta beat us. Like, not to say that it should be a stronghold. I've always said that the difference between the NFC North now past years. With the NFC North, you can always say, well, yeah, that's Aaron Rodgers' division. There's no quarterback in this division where you can say, we don't know if Sam Darnold's going to be, even if he is. We saw that he's still the same nigga the last couple of weeks of the season. Jordan Love has an extreme bozo gene. Detroit should feel a little bit, but I want to close with Detroit in a minute. But let's move on to Kevin Warren, who I affectionately call on this podcast Bunk Suit. And if you're new to this podcast and you don't know why I call him Bunk Suit, go to HBO Max right now. Watch the greatest television show of all time called The Wire. He wears suits like William the Bunk Moreland, played by the one and only Wendell Pierce. So that's why I call him Bunk Suit. But me and you specifically have said this for since he got hired. What does Kevin Warren do? Like, that was the biggest thing. He speaks in TED Talk, which is why I call him TED Talk Kevo. He's very mysterious. We don't know much about him. But I really feel over these last couple months, I think you said this on some dude about how you're still mad about the Hail Mary. I got a Hail Mary take, bro. I believe it needed to happen because I believe if they win that game, they go 5-2. And even if they don't make the playoffs, they're ignoring the problems that's still on that team. And I think that leads to a path of maybe making the playoffs. And you're terrible for years on, and you're ruining Caleb in that process, is what I believe happens if the Hail Mary goes our way. Now, this is definitely revisionist. This is a Monday morning quarterback view at it. I was distraught at the time, but that's how I really feel about it. And yeah, he said the Hail Mary disaster gave us BJ. I'm sorry, I'm just never calling a nigga BJ. My immature mind can't process.
Yeah, nah, I ain't doing
that. A grown man, BJ. I just can't do it. But I think that we've seen the Bears do things we've never seen them do. They didn't overthink the number one draft pick last year. They fired a coach midseason, which has never happened in the 106-year history of this franchise. And now, not only did they get the top candidate, they paid him top money. Now, this is the NFL. They don't ever release exact numbers on coaches. Like, even yesterday, we found about Kevin O'Connell's extension, and we didn't get no numbers. We heard today that Aaron Glenn's going to the Jets, 5-year deal. No numbers. So we don't know exactly what the numbers off Ben Johnson, but the rumor is that it's about $14 million a year for 5 years. That's about $90 million. So you're paying top money. You know, when Ryan Poles got interviewed for a job, Matt Eberflus got interviewed for a job, they're picking these people up from O'Hare Airport in economy. They gave Dan Quinn a middle seat. Like, how insane is that? to now even picking up people that just interviewing PJs. Mike McCarthy didn't even get the job, but he got the PJ from Dallas to Chicago, back to Dallas. That shows you the change. And I'm not going to lie, I've got a little faith in that man right now. I got a little, he is, for his first official move as the president, was to get this hire right. He let Ryan do his job, and it really feels now that Ryan's the middleman between George McCaskey and Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles wants something. He tells Kevin Warren what he wants and why he needs it. Kevin Warren gets the okay, he runs to George. And let's be real, George doesn't know anything about football, as he said himself. So basically, all you got to do is prove it to Kevin, and it's going to get proved. And that, to me, is where we see the changes in here. And I'm starting to have a little confidence that the shovels will actually be in the ground this year for the new stadium. And he finally signed to Sylvie. Sylvie was staying on Warren.
Yeah, he was staying. He was on him.
He was like, yeah. You're not getting away with TED Talk quotes today, buddy. I need some answers. And he basically said that, yo, the stadium's going to be worked on this year, whether we're going to keep aiming for downtown, but if we got to do Arlington, we do Arlington. And I, for the first time, actually trust him and feel that's going to get done. What have you learned about Kevin Warren over these last couple months, and do you have any optimism now with everything he does?
From the stadium perspective, look, stadium going to get done. Wherever that shit's going to be at, it's going to be at. That motherfucker be down the street in Joliet, if all I care. As long as that shit big as hell, dome, and looks just as good as L.A. and Vegas, it's all right with me. I want to be able to go to a game with my wife. My wife, I told my wife, when she was in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, she was in a suite, and she FaceTimed
me. I love Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, and she FaceTimed me like, ooh, look where I'm at. I said, you will never go to a Bears game with me. Yes, I would. Nah, nigga, that's like being in the suburbs and then saying, yo, I'm about to move to Holy City. Like, nah, that's just not going to happen. We need, in order for that Bears tax to move away, we need a high-quality stadium. I don't give a damn if it's in Arlington, Museum Campus, Michael Reese. Don't matter to me. I'm going to be in that bitch. But I'm confident that it's going to happen because of him. From a football perspective, it feels like a new day. And it feels like that he is the one that said, no, fuck this. This is how we got to do it. I think when that Trace Armstrong shit came out, that was the best thing that happened to Kevin Warren, the worst thing that happened to everybody else, because it showed the incompetence that was going on in the first place. Kevin Warren now controls this franchise.
Yeah.
And that article helped that happen, because George had to admit, hey, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I was doing the right thing. You got it, bro. The other piece of this is Ryan Poles to me. At first, I thought it was a little bit of tension, and I might have been wrong. I might still be wrong. But it did feel like it was a little bit of tension, and Ryan Poles like, ah. But I think Ryan Poles feels like, oh, nah, I think we straight around here, too. I think we good. I have the perfect partner. I think we have it. With that being said, Kevin Warren has the chance to do something transformative with this franchise. I think he has the opportunity to make his mark here in Chicago and stamp himself as one of the best executives that this market has ever seen. You get you a brand new stadium. Like I said, don't matter where that shit at, you start working on this brand new stadium. That stadium should be done by what, 2028? You get that taken care of, like 2027, 2028. You get that new stadium taken care of. You get a winner on that team. You get Caleb Williams there for 10, 15 years. You get Ben Johnson, who's there and can become the best coach since Mike Dickel or since Lovie Smith, however you want to do it. You started to see a successful Bears team and a team that's deserving of a third biggest market in the country. I don't think people realize also that the Bears being good and all of this stuff elevates business as well. It elevates marketing, promotions, TV, the other teams, all of this work in conjunction, Kevin Warren has the chance to be the best nigga in Chicago since Harold Washington. He could be our Magic Johnson. When Jaden, he could be our Magic Johnson. Hey, thank you. Congratulations. He can be that if all things go well with these Bears.
And Kevin Warren press conference are starting to become my favorite thing. He's a funny nigga. I'm sorry. I don't know if like the Waddle and Sylvie thing, like he was grabbing Sylvie's arm. It was what he said. My wife told me this. Like, faith is like a mustard seed. Like, he always got like a story for shit. Like, he's like, you know, I'm going through this 40-day prayer circle. I'm on prayer number 39 right now.
Oh, he really said that.
Yeah, he really said that.
I thought y'all was bullshitting.
No, he really said that. He really said it, you know, and my pastor, you know, in Nashville, you know, he's a congressman now. Like he you can tell he's a CEO. You can tell CEO niggas talk with their hands. You know what I'm saying? He's a large hand talker. So I'm gonna give it baby steps, but I'm liking what I'm seeing from TED Talk Kevo so far, man. Let's move on to Ryan Poles, because Ryan Poles is the football man here. He will be making the football decisions. I have not heard all of his interview with Waddle and Sylvie. I'm pretty sure they'll upload it on their YouTube at some point.
Yeah, I heard most of it.
And it sounded like he took accountability for the mistakes that he made. And also what I took from it is that he got an extension. That's what I took from it, that he got an extension.
Yeah, he's straight. He good. He good. Yeah. He got his guy. He got some years.
Yeah, and even when Sylvie's like, I'm worried that this time next year we're going to be looking at GM search, and Kevin Warren grabbed his hand and said, trust me, you have no reason to worry about that. There's other things to worry about. So it tells me he's there. I can't say my faith level on Ryan Poles is grown that much. I'll give it for Poles for getting his guy. And also I want to say about the search, a lot of people were upset about the search. And I said, when the search happened, they can interview 100 niggas. I don't care. Get the right person. And
the Jets interviewed 17 niggas.
Yeah, I mean, people forget. The Chargers interviewed 15 people before they got Jim Harbaugh last year. I don't care how many people you interview. And especially with Ben Johnson still being in the playoffs, they couldn't hire him right away anyway. So what you want to do, just sit on their fingers? Oh, we'll just wait till they get eliminated. No, do other work. You know, because there's people out here who got revisionist history about the Caleb thing. Why didn't they at least interview Jaden? If the Bears would have been like, yeah, we want Ben, and we going to sit here and sit on our ass for the next 2 weeks, people would have had a problem with that. And to hear that it was looked at well by the rest of the league, I think it's a good thing. But, yes, I'll give Ryan Poles that credit, but I can't say my faith level has risen that much. I got to see, is he not going to be cheap in free agency? Last year, he was extremely cheap in free agency last year. Is he going to go out there and spend the money? And more importantly, is he going to get better at drafting?
That's hey, look, they're going to have to get, what's my man name, the guard at Kansas City? They're going to have to get his ass. Yeah, they're going to have to get Trey Smith some money and a couple of Portillo's franchises.
Yeah, and the thing about offensive linemen is with the market, I'm always a little weary about it, because it's like if you let a quarterback hit the market, like what do you know that I don't know about him? So, like, that's the one worry I have, but also the Chiefs got to pay other people. Pat is definitely going to be out asking for more money soon. If they three-peat, it would not shock me. He was like, yeah, you remember that extension I signed a couple years ago? Yeah, throw that shit in the garbage. Y'all niggas finna pay me more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see that. He says, it's going to be $100 million Chiefs can't pay me. Yeah, so that's probably what the issue is. So that's when, if he executes this, draft well, free agency well, then my faith in will start to rise. For right now, I'm going to just give him credit for filling in a mistake that he made with Keith Matt Eberflus.
Yeah. This offseason is going to turn out to be the biggest, the most important offseason in Bears history. They got to get that offensive line taken care of. They got to hit on the draft. Look, who's to say that Ian Cunningham don't get an interview with the Jacksonville Jaguars? They need the GM now. Right. He was in the running for that Tennessee Titans job. So there's that right there. Maybe you get some compensatory picks. What's going to happen with Keenan Allen? What's going to happen? Chael, what's going to happen with that second pick, that second round pick at Carolina? Are you going to use that in the draft?
They got two picks. They got two second rounders.
Yeah. So are you going to use those two? Are you going to dangle that to get some help there? Ben Johnson said that he feels that they could win now. And he, I mean, even with him saying that, no, we're gonna strip this down, he feels like they can win now.
Which is why I'm glad he didn't shy away from that question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm glad he didn't say, well, you know, it's gonna be a process. Da, 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 da. I'm glad he's like, no, we can make it this year.
Yeah, we can make it this year. We'll see what happens. I'm not about to jump out the body, but we'll see what happens with that. But they gotta fix that offensive line. They have to draft well. They might have to finesse some things. If Keenan Allen goes somewhere else, I think they get a compensatory pick for him as well. So that's a good part of that finesse when it comes to that trade. Bears got some options, and they do got a pretty good team. It's just, as you said, that Hail Mary might have been the best thing that happened to this Bears organization in quite some time.
Honestly.
And to keep it a buck, might be the best thing to happen in football in quite some time. Because if we could get a strong rivalry between the Commanders and the Bears in that NFC, always constantly going up against each other like San Francisco and Dallas used to, hey, this might be dope for the NFL. And the thing that started it would be a Hail Mary.
Yeah, and have that nice rivalry between Jaden Daniels and Caleb. I don't care what nobody says. I don't think Caleb likes the fact that Jaden is taking over the city.
Yeah, he don't like this shit at all.
I don't think he likes that at all, to be completely honest with you. And I think he's going to work on that, man. Final topic before we get out of here. We got to talk about Detroit Lions, man. Like, y'all niggas been crashing out, bro.
Can I say it?
Go ahead.
Don't nobody give a damn about the Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Lions fans are really acting like they never been in, like they never had anything before. That's what they're like. That's what they're acting like. I remember when fan favorite David Montgomery left the Bears to sign with the Detroit Lions. I did not see really any bad negative comments about him. It was Demo deserves to be on a winning team. We wish him the best. They call this man a traitor. The funniest you ever heard. Osama Ben Johnson is the funniest shit I've ever heard. Ben a Dick Johnson is hilarious. Lions fans have been going crazy. Shout out our guy Chuck English from the Cool Kids. He's going to be on the show on Friday because me and him were going back and forth on Monday.
They called Osama Ben Johnson.
They said that he sabotaged the game on Saturday purpose. Because they didn't like the fact that Adam Schefter said in his report that he has been working on his staff for a while. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I don't believe he's sabotage is crazy.
And let's get this shit over with. I'm trying to go to Chicago.
And to the point that Amon Ross said on his podcast, like, it's ridiculous. Like, he's like, I was in the meetings. He said he was locked in. We just lost. But they've been going outside. And they're acting like fans who've never been anywhere before. And I saw a tweet.
But they haven't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I saw a tweet. You know, it's always funny, like, when I catch subtweets in real time. Like, when I know a nigga's talking about me. Like, it's not just me thinking everybody's talking about me. And niggas was like, oh, well, Bears fans just stay in their place when grown folks talk. I was like, look, man, y'all niggas had a nice two seasons. You're going to have a banner in Ford Field that says, lost to the Niners in the NFC Championship game 2023. Like, but as bad as the Bears have been, y'all would give up y'all firstborn to have the Bears history. I can get hit by a Mack truck tomorrow. I know what it's like to see my team play in February. We didn't win the game, but I saw it. I know what it's like. When I remember seeing Brian Urlacher hoisting up that Halas trophy as the snow was coming down at Soldier Field, what, 18 years ago at this point. I remember seeing that. The Bears have had a couple divisions. This last year, their first division, since 1992. Like, they really acting like Lions. Like, this is what happens. We have a good team, your assistants leave. And that's why if you have a CEO-type head coach, like a Dan Campbell, you better hope he's getting replaced people. And we're really finally find out if he is. So, and like, I got nothing but love for Detroit. My auntie live in Detroit. I've been in Detroit a lot. Love Detroit. Great people out there. They're very prideful about their city. I like that, you know, I love Coney Island, like, you know, Detroit piece of very underrated. But I just want y'all to act like y'all been there. Even though you haven't been there before, act like you've been there. You going
out crazy. Look, I had I had that quote when I was saying that Green Bay Packers about to go to the ghetto. Yeah, we gonna see about the Detroit Lions. See, that's the whole thing about this leader of men shit. See, that leader of men shit, when you have both sides leaving the coaching staff, we gonna see who was really doing things. Now, they did, like, Hank Fraley might not leave. I forgot my man name. I saw them talking about a potential.
Well, their DL coach left. He's the physical.
No, I'm talking about on the offensive side. Like their passing game coordinator.
Oh, Mark Brunell.
No, their passing game coordinator. Not even Mark Brunell, because Mark Brunell might go to the Jets.
To the Jets, that's right.
With Aaron Glenn. But they was like, it's some, like, quarterbacks, I mean, like, passing game coordinator person they got that now that could probably, like, replace. Like, either way it go, they have people on staff, but are those people Ben Johnson? Yeah, there you go. It's Strand.
Yeah.
Are those people good enough or as good as Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn? Hell, flip side. Are Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson replaceable? We will see. But the thing about it is they just don't know. They like, yo, they looking around like, yo, what we gonna do? What is Ben Johnson like? What does Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn bring to the table? Who we gonna place them in? And is Dan Campbell going to be the guy for us long term? Like, he was good for these last 2 years. We biting kneecaps and all of that shit. But yeah, like, they looking around like, yo, we was hot. Now we ain't that hot. Forget AEW. Like, forget AEW.
It's an AEW fans.
No, forget AEW. This could be WCW. This could be 83 weeks.
That WCW when Austin 316 debuted.
It before. This could be 83 weeks. This could be NWO. We got it. We the hottest shit. And then Mike Tyson shows up at WrestleMania. It's like, oh, this shit's over with.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions could be the 83 weeks of WCW. We was the hottest thing in town. Everybody loves us. We had a couple of moments. We fucked them up. Sting wrestled Hulk Hogan at Starrcade. The match was tough. We didn't do shit with Goldberg. We didn't win the brass ring. Here comes Austin 316. We got a chance to be Austin 316.
Yeah, and Ben Johnson can be Austin. So, yeah, I just got to say that, man. I need y'all to get up because I was messing with Chuck. He'll be on Friday. It's going to be interesting. And Chuck told me for months, Ben Johnson ain't coming to y'all. Da, 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 da. I was like, all right, man, I'm telling you what I'm hearing. Like, I'm not just making up stuff. And now all of a sudden, everybody, it's like Detroit Lions fans acting like the dude tried to holler at the girl when they had her, and then they leave, and they're like, oh, that bitch ain't shit. Like, that's what they act like right now. And it's just like, come on, Osama Ben Johnson. I'll be thinking about that forever.
Yeah, that's
like nasty. That is hilarious, man. So, Lions fans, I just got. What did Michael Rapport say on that Diddy video? Back to the ghetto you go. Like, that's how it kind of feels.
And that potential staff. Like, no diss to Dennis Allen, but Dennis Allen, I don't think, could be a head coach anymore in the NFL. No. So if Dennis Allen could get the Bears defense that has talent on there, like the New Orleans Saints, when they had folks on there, Cameron Jordan and all of them were still young, healthy. Marshawn Lattimore was hella decent. They was a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
They was a top 10 defense. They was one of the better defenses in the league until, you know, niggas got old. If Dennis Allen does come in and he gets his hands, paws on JJ, on Edwards, because I feel like Edmonds is probably going to not be here.
I don't know, because Ben mentioned Tremaine Edmonds.
Oh, he did.
As far as people he liked on the defense. Oh, so okay, I don't know if he's going anywhere. Yeah.
But yeah, man, if we keep that linebacker staff, like we got Kyler Gordon, if he could stay healthy for a full season.
If Jaquan can stay healthy.
If Jaquan can stay healthy, if Montez Sweat can turn it on, if we could get another edge, we could get a man.
And it's a deep three-tech draft. It's a deep three-tech draft.
Yeah.
I like Irvin, but like I said, he's not a starter, bro. Like, he can switch in and out, but he can't be your full-time three-tech. So that to me is like when you're going to really see what happens here when it comes to these things in the North, because I think the North is going to be competitive again. I don't think it's going to be as good as it was this year, because I think there's a lot of question marks, but Yeah, man. Detroit fans, man. I don't know what to tell you. All I know is that you can book Thanksgiving game again. That's we're 100% going to be Detroit Thanksgiving.
Hey, man, look. Go have fun burning houses on Halloween.
On Devil's Night? That's what they call it in Detroit. Night. Yeah,
go Devil's Night. Go have fun. They'll go have fun dancing to that techno house shit that y'all be doing.
Damien says, question, do y'all think we can think keep Thomas Brown as OC or move on to QB coach?
Is rumors that Thomas Brown going to the Jets.
Going to the was it? I thought it was Patriots.
Well, I saw a rumor today that that there's potential that Thomas Brown could be a part of the Jets if Aaron Glenn gets the job.
So. Oh, well, it might be. Well, some AFC East thing. I mean, even if he wasn't, no. I like Thomas Brown, but I think you need to get anybody from that past coaching out of there. I know that they're trying to get Tizzy from New Orleans to be the special team coach, but Brad Biggs, they said, do not rule out Richard Hightower coming back to be special teams coordinator. Don't rule that out. So that's what we're going to be paying to next is how the staff is going to put together. Bang, any final words before we wrap this episode up?
Hey, man, enjoy this. It's a new day. All right. I really feel like this is a new day for the organization. I just want long-term success.
Yeah.
Not saying these niggas got to win 15, 16 Super Bowls in my lifetime. They ain't got to be Tom Brady and all that shit. Sustained success. I want this team to be treated like a third market team, a charter franchise, one of the best organizations. Kevin Warren, hey, y'all on the clock now. If y'all feeling good about this, if y'all holding y'all nuts, if y'all thinking that, hey, yo, it's time now, you can't, I hate to say it, you can't go 7-10.
You can't, even though I'm not putting a win prediction, you definitely can't go.
Now, I'll just say, I'm not putting it either, especially with the schedule they're going to have.
Yeah, it's not. Coming up. But let's think about schedules, too, by the NFL Watch Out. What I always say, you never really know what the schedule's going to look like until it starts. Because, some teams fall off, some get hurt. You know,
But we've had trouble on away games.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
And that's why I'm like, that schedule that they got away, like, until they show me. I'm going to be looking at those away games like, but either way.
Well, there's two games that for sure are going to be tough. Baltimore and Philadelphia. In Baltimore. I can't remember. I think last time Bears won in Philadelphia. And Cincinnati. I think last time Bears won in Philly was that Brian Greasy comeback in like 07. Like,
yeah,
I don't think
so,
they won in Philly since.
So there's going to be a lot of work, but this is going to be a long-term project. And I'll go on to say this. I'll finish by saying this. We'll see what happens next season, but I have more hope for the future for the Chicago Bears than I've had in quite some time. I think the future is extremely bright for this team, and they have a chance to at least be a perennial playoff team and a Super Bowl here or there.
Yeah, definitely. That's all we got for y'all today, man. I'll be back for I'm Not Gonna Hold You. Bang's gonna be out this week. It'll be me, Mikey, Dante. Hold it. The local hour is probably gonna be the local hour and a half this week. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Courtney's gonna be out too, but Mariano will be filling in. We haven't had Mario in a minute, so he'll be on there. We've got Chuck English from the Cool Kids. He's pulling up. He's gonna talk about Ben Johnson leaving his team. How everything. It's been a rough week. Michigan sports fans, like, they lost to the Commanders, they lost Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, they lost their defensive line coach, and the Ohio State Buckeyes won the national game.
At least y'all got Cade Cunningham.
At least y'all got Cade, right? Yeah, Cade hooping. You know, them Pistons is in that play in race right now. Might get a play in game at the Little Caesars Arena, bro. So, and the Tigers went to playoffs last year. So, pitchers and catchers report in a couple weeks. Those are two things you can look at, man. So, you can follow me at Barbershop Scout on all social media platforms, man. You can follow Bang and at JR Bang on all social media platforms. New episode of Some Dude out right now. You can subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershop Network. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can take your phone up to the screen. The QR code will take you right to the link. If you're listening to this on a podcast version of this on any of our Spotify, Apple Music feeds. The link is in the description box, man. Signed up to the $10 Holler the Barbershop access, and you get 25% off your first order at the Barbershop Network merchandise shop. That is bcnetshop.com. It is freezing. Go out there and get yourselves a hoodie, man. So for Bang, for myself, man, we appreciate everybody for watching. Multiple episodes this week. You said, fuck Detroit, fuck Eminem and Kid Rock. So me and Joe be back after they solidify the rest of the other staff. So once they do that, we'll be back to talk about that. And then we get into our off-season planning after that, man. So y'all enjoy the rest of y'all night, and we'll holler at you on Friday on I'm Not Gonna Hold You. We about it.
Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7 Knife and Hollis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 Knife and Hollis in your ears. You. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.